There is no magic. The magic doesn't exist. There is no piece of information that you're missing that's going to turn you into this player that you want to become. The difference between a professional and an amateur isn't that a professional is doing magic stuff. They're just doing a lot less crap than the amateur.
Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero here on the Tour Coach Podcast. Thanks for listening in. You're about to get some golf information to help your game from the best teachers, mental coaches, players, fitness experts from around the world. These are all the people that I deal with day in, day out, traveling the PGA, LPGA, Corn Ferry Tours, or down there at Old Palm where I do most of my teaching in Palm Beach Garden. So sit back, relax, and let's get better at the game of golf. And hey, if you like what you hear, please, please, please take a second, like, subscribe, and share it wherever you get your podcast.
All right. These are my favorite times right here. It's like nap time with Brady. I get to sitting in here on the tour coach with my good friend, one of the great teachers in the game, somebody I always enjoy hanging out with from out on the left coast, the west coast, my boy Brady Riggs. What's up, Brady?
What's up, TR, man? So happy to see your smiling face. Miss you.
The red goat's not red, but I've been looking, man, I'm getting so damn gray. It is
awful. Dude, it's getting a little white.
Mm-hmm.
What white, are you gonna do?
White goat.
Yeah.
you know, we got talking about things we could talk about today. And you know, obviously folks want to get better at teaching and they're wanting to get better at playing, which is why they do this. And you know, you and I were talking about because we've had experience, and I've always been one. I think it's healthy as a teacher to have a group of people, a quorum that you trust, that you can bounce swings off of and throw swings off of and pick people's brains. I've done that a lot. You've always been one of mine. I like to have diverse type people too, because I feel like if you had five other Tonys looking at it, we're all going to see the same. But sometimes, yeah, I sent you one the other day of a LPGA player, and it's like, you know, hey, like I'm stumped a little bit or whatever. Like, I think it's good to have different points of view.
I totally agree. And I think, you know, we've been lucky, the two of us, because we've been able to even share players, you know, which is a good thing. I think it's hard because growing up in this business, it's very nomadic and everybody's very territorial. And, you know, everybody's afraid of losing clients or, you know, their information getting out, whatever. But I think if you can find people that are like-minded, that are trying to, because I think I need to learn all the time. You know, I'm growing all the time as a teacher, you know, and I learn from everybody that I go with, you know, that I hang out with. Sometimes I learn that I think my way is more effective. And then sometimes I steal from the person that I'm hanging out with, you know, which is normal, you know, but I do think
so much from you.
No, I steal from you. I still have the pivot pack. Don't even talk to me right now. I'm using that all the time. I love that thing. But I think it's cool that, you know, when you find people that are like-minded and really want to get better, you know, and help their players, then you're not worried about losing clients. You're not worried about getting the information out. You're actually looking for confirmation or somebody to help you maybe see something that you're missing. And, you know, we're fortunate enough or unfortunate enough to work with a tour player together. And then, you know, I just sent you a guy, you know, down to Florida who I really like. He's an interesting guy because, it only can help, right? I mean, and I've been giving him my perspective and we're working through some stuff, and he goes and sees you and he's like, well, hey, I really like this about what Tony did and this. And I think it's great because I get to get that feedback too, because I'm working with him, you know? So anytime we can share swings, bounce ideas off each other, that's only going to help both of us in the long run for sure.
And obviously, I think it's interesting. We come at things from different views, different angles. I think we're all, we're trying to accomplish a lot of the same things. I mean, we know what functional good golf swings generally look like, especially impact, right?
Yeah.
And we come at it from different views. You know, I always, one of the reasons early when I first, way back, I don't even know how many years it was when I first met you and I first asked you to come on the old radio show on PGA Tour Radio and all that was, you know, your point of view came from such of a, you know, more of a scientific approach than mine was, right? And it interested me because, like, I would try to see what you saw, and then I would see a lot of the same things, but I would maybe see them a little different or try to figure them out a little different. So like to me, it was big for me as growth as a teacher, like being your friend, and obviously we're great friends, but like being able to, see that. And then obviously we've been friends for a long time, and you've watched as I've gotten to know more and more and more, like with Colby, and we do more and stuff. So like obviously the influence on some of the movements and some of the stuff I've learned from like his work, and you watch the stuff he's done with players, is infiltrated what I do. And like, but it's interesting. But I think having that resource is, is awesome. And I got, like we were talking before we came on the air, good friend of mine was a great mentor of mine, Tom Ness, just recently passed away. But Tom was like the consummate golf machine teacher, right? And he was such a great resource to send a video to, and you'd get this text back of bullet points that was golf machine, right? And I know that there's people that don't like all that, but it was, especially for me as a young teacher coming up, Brady, that was phenomenal information for me because it was like organized, and the way he said it. And I think that's something that players, and a good direction for this podcast is players and teachers understanding how to organize what you're doing. And I thought that's what was always so helpful with the stuff. And you're the same way. When I send you something, you come back and it's an organized approach.
I appreciate that. I think it's a really good way to frame the whole picture, right? Like, there's players are unorganized, and they don't see how one part of the game impacts another. And so I'd explain it this way. I have a guy today who I teach who's a member at LA Country Club and at the Valley Club and some other great, great courses in the LA area. And really good dude. I think his name's Joe. I think Joe's around 70 years old. I've taught him 25 years and a good player, plus handicapper in his prime, and still a guy who can go shoot under par if he plays really well. Really, really quality guy. Loves to learn. And, we're always working on moving his body in certain ways to help him find the low point. And then his miss, because he's a drawer, when he doesn't move really well, not only will he not find the low point, but the face will rotate a little fast, right? It'll get away from him. So I was trying to explain to him in the process of where you aim, how important that is to help you with your mechanics. And I was explaining it in this way, like if your body slows down and you're a drawer, you're probably going to lose it left. Right? But if you're standing over the ball and you're aiming at where you want the ball to start, not where you want the ball to land, what you're telling yourself is, I need to start it on the line that I'm aimed on. And that's confining in a way. But if you actually aim where you want the ball to land, knowing that you're a drawer, now you have to start it to the right. And to start a ball to the right, I got to move well. There's no way I can start a ball right if I'm behind it. And by moving better, I can bottom out better and I can keep the face from getting too rotated too quickly. So the process of kind of just aiming and where you're targeting, like I told him, I go, I don't care where the ball starts right. I just want it starting right. I don't talk about land, starting lines with you. I'm talking about landline. So if you know, okay, I'm aiming at the target and I'm a drawer, I've got to start this ball right. I got to start it right or I'm screwed. It's going to go left. So now standing over the ball as you're getting ready to go, I got to start this right because I'm aimed at where I want it to land. Now you're going to move better. That's going to help you bottom out better. That's going to help you be able to go around to the finish like we want you to do. So the organization of that whole thing that you just were talking about, it matters. Like I want players to understand why they're aiming where they're aiming for their specific shot shape and how that comes back into their own mechanics and why that reinforces what we're trying to do with their mechanically. And now the whole thing can come together much better, And then the miss makes some sense, Like, oh, it started too straight. Well, we didn't move very well, Or it started where I wanted, but I didn't draw it enough. All right, well, you need to feel more around to the finish, with your right side to get the. So now they've got a very big kind of puzzle piece put together where they can see, okay, I got to walk in and visualize this is my landing line. I want to start it right at that. I know it helps reinforce my mechanics. And when I don't hit it the way I want, I know what happened. Now you're organized, and people undervalue that. And I think as coaches, like you said, when you talk to somebody else and get their perspective, now you're seeing how this person is organizing that player to help them get better. It may not be that you go about it the same way, but just the mere fact that maybe they mentioned something in the setup or in an alignment or whatever the hell it is, that helps me organize my players. And if I sit in my own box as a coach and I don't really reach out and I don't listen to other coaches, then I never get to experience that. And it's going to keep me from being as good a coach as I want to be. And as a player, I think it's important to keep asking those questions of your coach. You know, why am I doing that? You know, how can you help me on the court? Because I feel like I'm not able to execute. You know, and that's how you help guys get up the ladder in terms of performance. You know, if they're not organized, they can't get there.
And I think, you know, I think if you're a player, you want to know not just what you're working on today, but big picture where you and your teacher are going.
Totally agree.
Right?
Totally agree.
Now you got to be disciplined enough to say, like, I'm not going to jump ahead to chapter four when we're in chapter one. But, you know, I think that's a huge part of like understanding. I think that's one thing personally, I think that the best teachers are really good at. Like I know when you start with a player, and we've talked about some of the people you have great skill, like you have a plan and you have a vision where you want that puzzle to go. And like I always look at a golf swing, like I see it 2 years out. Like where would I want this junior or this college player or this young pro 2 years out? Doesn't mean they're going to play like shit till then.
Right.
But right. And I think that like one of the missing pieces and a young player that we were just talking about before we were on the air has no organization of a plan. And everything is about how I get it today versus understanding that I have to have a plan and understanding the puzzle pieces to get there.
Yeah, and I think what you said is so true, and I tell people this all the time. There is no magic. The magic doesn't exist. There is no piece of information that you're missing that's going to turn you into this player that you want to become. The difference between a professional and an amateur isn't that a professional is doing magic stuff. They're just doing a lot less crap than the amateur, right? They're not doing things that are completely antithetical to them getting better. You know, they've condensed everything, they work on specific things. Yeah, they might have a weird grip or a strange top or whatever, but it all balances out. And they're working their swing and their mechanics, and they're getting better and better and better at that, hopefully. Where an amateur's looking all the time, oh, I'm going to try that. I read this. My playing partner said to try this. That's not the route, you know, and the discipline in the organization. And like you said, talking to your coach and being specific about it is so important because if you don't stick to that, it's so easy to look at the shiny object, you know, and go off on a detour. And then you're spending months down a rabbit hole you should have never been on.
You know, and I think, you know, you've been a big influence on me with this is I think one of the missing pieces and one of the puzzle pieces for those really wanting to improve is the organization of their practice, right? And that's a place that I think that it's shocking how many tour players are shitty at it.
True.
Not shocking how many recreational golfers are shitty at it. But to me, that's one of the easiest ways if you're a 15 or a 10 handicapper or an 8 handicapper to make a big jump is just to become very organized in your practice. I have a not a kid anymore. He plays for Duke. And I've taught this kid since the Frederica days and teach his whole family. And we just did a FaceTime lesson. And he has a Google Doc that he puts his practice plan in, and it's very detailed. It's broken down by the number of balls he hits for each thing. And some of it are slow swings where you don't care where it goes or how far. And then a portion of it is gamified stuff that I've taken from you, right? And like, there's no wonder this kid's gone and now he's playing at a major school and, you know, at a Division I school, big program. But like, to me, if, I mean, I don't know, but like the guy that's just trying to break 80 all the time, if he just did that a little bit, he'd go
True.
from shooting 82 to 78 in a month, probably.
Yeah, there's a lot of shots to be had just by being better at how you practice without changing anything mechanically.
Because
Like you can save some shots.
I think that goes directly towards what you said a couple minutes ago about just not sabotaging yourself or doing as much back dumb shit basically on the golf
Right.
course.
Yeah. And what's cool is you're talking about a golf machine guy, you know, and how he's going to lay something out, you know, and then it may not be the same information, but you can take from that, right? But what's weird, in my opinion, is that like as time goes on, even as a coach, we change, you know. We may be really technically focused for a period of time, you know, and then we might move, and then you know, you're having a span of your career with Colby right now, where you're learning a lot from him on how the body moves and how important it is to understand that in your teaching and help your students in that way. And I think that that's all very relevant as a coach, you know, that we explore different areas and we reach out to each other to talk about those because we don't know everything. You know, it's important to be able to have an open mind and say, all right, I wouldn't have tried that, but I want to see if that works because I think it can work. You know, and I think players need to be a lot less adventurous about the information that they're getting. You know, they need to stick with somebody who they trust that can keep them on track. Because as a player, you don't want to be trying this coach, that coach, this idea, that idea. You're never going to get anywhere doing that. You need to have the discipline to stay on the plan. As a coach, we need to be able to try all those different things to try and continue to improve as coaches, you know. But the practice thing, that's the lowest hanging fruit ever, you know. Like I have people, I'll say, okay, tell me about how do you practice your putting? What are you doing on to putt? What's normal practice like? Well, I usually take three balls out to the green before I go, and I putt for, you know, 5, 10 minutes. I'm like, okay, so you're just putting to the flags that are there on the green? Yeah. I'm like, okay, how far apart do you think those holes are? Like 20 feet or so. I'm like, okay, do you know what the tour make rate is from 20 feet? No, it's 15%. You got three balls. Okay, you're not making those, most likely. Every once in a while, you will. And then how many get a three putt from 20 feet? Well, I'm not going to 3 foot. No, you're not. You're not going to 3 putt from 20 feet. So now you're hitting a putt that you're not going to make. It's not in a percentage lengthwise that you need to make because you're not going to make those, and you're not really helping yourself avoid 3 putts or practice putts that you need to make. You have no stress. You're probably not in your routine, right? And you're really not doing anything other than maybe getting a little bit of the speed of the practice green, which very well might not be the same as the green itself on the golf course. Would be way better off if you putted from 40 feet. You know, it would be better off if you practiced 9 feet and in. So now those are putts that are helpful. A 40-footer, you start to get the speed, you can work on your distance control. That'll make your 3 putt avoidance better. And then 9 feet in, you got to make those putts on a good percentage. You know, those are ones that tour players are making a high number of. You know, how are you spending the time? They just don't look at it the way that they could, where if they said, I have the same amount of time, I got 10 minutes. Okay, here's what I would do in 10 minutes. I'd take my plate out, I'd aim it at the fringe from 3 steps away. So I got a 9 foot putt, and I'd try and hit 9 balls in a row through the tees on my putting plate. Now I know I can start the ball on the line I'm intending. That should take, you know, a minute or two, not much time, right? And then maybe I'll go do a 3-6-9 combine where I'm putting a 3 footer, a 6 footer, 9 footer on different breaks. You know, I'll do 5 holes with 3 balls each. That's not going to take me very long. That's just 5, 6, 7 minutes, something like that. And then maybe I'll practice some long putts with as much break as I can so I can feel how much the run out is as the ball's slowing down. Now, in the same amount of time, I've worked on my starting line. I worked on some pressure putts under full routine, and I worked on my distance control, and I saw what some breaking putts are going to do. Now I'm a lot more prepared to go play that round than I would be had I taken the 3 balls out on the green and done what everybody else does, hit them to a 20-footer. It's low hanging fruit. It's just better organization and a little bit more purpose in practice.
Yeah, and I think it's just understanding like that each piece of that's like you said this earlier, like I mean we're putting a puzzle together for players basically, right? And every piece is important. You got to know where it fits. And you know, I think most of the people like they look at it as like It's just one big picture, but it's a lot of little pieces that go towards that. And going along what you were just talking about, the structure of like how the detailed and what you gave people for putting there. Like I, the other one to drive, one other thing is like they don't have a lot of time. And especially like daylight's going to get short. But everybody, like instead of just dumping a basket of balls beside the green, take three balls and just put them in three different places and chip them up there and have to putt them in. And try to get to where you can get two out of three up and down from wherever they lie. And do that three times. It may take you 8, 10 minutes.
Right.
That's real practice.
Yes. Because if you sit on the same spot with 30 balls hitting the same shot, I mean, anybody over time will figure out a way to make that shot work, you know? But you're not challenged. Each shot is the same mindless thing about where you're going to land. You're just not really gaining anything. But if you randomized and you hit a third of the balls or even less than that, and each shot had its own specific lie and you had to figure out where it was going to land, and then, okay, well, this one's on the downslope or whatever that is, and then you hit it up on the green. And now you take the time to mark the ball, right? If you use the line on the ball, you do it, you full routine, you read the putt, and now you hit the putt. Yeah, you're not getting the number of reps in. But that rep is way more valuable when you go to the first hole and you miss the green than not having the shot you were practicing anyway, because you're never going to, you know, and then not having the process of going through where do I want to land it? What is this lie like? You know, I used Maddie, my daughter, as an example of that because she was a sophomore in high school when she had a concussion, decided she wanted to try and play golf. Well, I had to expedite the process. She had talent, but I had to speed up the growth of a player. So what we did on the course every day, we'd go on the course every single day, and I would have 6, 8 balls in my pocket. We'd hit balls into the green. I'd throw the ball, all the balls around the green in the various lies, any lie I could find, rough, fairway lie. I don't care where it landed. I didn't care how it was sitting. I'd say, okay, we're hitting these up on the green. Each one, you got to pick a landing spot. We got to walk through it. And every hole, we'd hit 6 or 8 shots around the green. Now, if you do that on 4 or 5 holes every single day, you're going to get pretty good at short game. Now, if you spent that exact same amount of time in the chipping area from the exact same spot, I don't think you're getting as good. Because you're not reading the lie, you're not reading the slopes, you're not doing any of the things that you have to do to really be effective around the green. And it's easy. It's easy. That's not time consuming. That's not hard. You don't have to challenge yourself mentally. You're just spraying balls, or like you said, take three balls, throw them over here, throw them over there, go through the process. You know, that's super productive. You don't need a track man. You know, we don't need to do any of that shit. We just need to go out there and work at it. And if you work at it, you'll also say, man, I suck on this tight lie. I'm not very good on this. I gotta go help my coach. She's helped me out. I can't hit a shot off a tight lie. I'm struggling with the contact. Okay, that's meaningful information that your coach can help you with, and you can look at the mechanics again, organizing the practice time so that you get something from it.
And I think that's just such a big part, no matter where you are. And again, I mean, because so many teachers listen to us. I don't know why, but they do. But
It's my good looks and your boyish charm for sure.
it's got to be my charm. People don't call me charming as they used to. I think I'm becoming a dick. But anyways, it's that organization. I mean, our job is to coach them. And I think that's one thing. I know you're big on this. Like, I mean, making a player better isn't always jumping in there and teaching them the stuff you'd want to teach so that you look like you know something, right? And I mean, there's a lot of teachers out there that do that. I think there's a bunch that change tour player swings so that you know they've done something to them when the golf swing wasn't really what's keeping them from winning. And I think it's the same. Like, the guy that shoots 80, I mean, sometimes what he needs is more structured practice to shoot 75. Maybe it is just tweaking his grip a little and not doing an overhand, right? Like, maybe he doesn't have the ball in the right spot, you know?
Right. Well, I was going to ask you, so out of all the young players you have, and I know you have had a couple that just gained some status, right? I'm thinking one in particular who I know you love their swing and how they've worked at it over the years. You know, tell me about Emilio's journey and kind of where he was and how he got to this point
I'll be honest though, I looked at some of his old swings,
now.
found some, and they're not that different. I wondered if I've done anything.
Hey, you know what? That might be the most important lesson of all, right? Is if it's not broken, don't fix it. Just help it function better. Help him get organized better.
You
But
know,
I watch his swing and I'm like, that thing's good, man. Like
it's good.
it's such a good move.
And it's unique and it's his own, right?
How
And I
important is
always
that?
say this, and being from California, you'll agree, because I know how you like Mexican food. The only thing we fight about is I like hard shell tacos. He does not. That's if I do it, he said he'd fire me if he saw me.
He's
But
correct and you're wrong. They
okay,
should be
I
stopped.
stand
Yeah.
correct. But anyway, but he's always, you know, it's always had that little Spanish flair. You know what I'm talking about? That little,
Yeah,
right? Like,
a little. He's
yeah,
got some
you know,
width in the
and like,
finish, and yeah.
you know, and like we're never going to take that out of it. Like,
No
you
way.
know, and I think it's a great lesson. I use, you know, I use him as an example so much from the fact that it was not always an easy path. He had times he's been very frustrated and depressed after Q schools or seasons. But he's realized he's worked on the same three things for 5 years, 6 years.
Wow.
He's just gotten better at them. And he's gotten, to his credit, he's gotten better at his mental approach. Dr. Carton has done awesome with him. And the interesting thing about that, and we're talking about puzzle pieces, Brady, is he said he realized that he needed to keep talking to him and keep that line of communication open, even when he was playing good. Not just wait until till the shit hit the fan and he had a bad week, right? Which I thought was interesting. Right?
No, I love watching his journey, you know, because I know how hard you've worked and I know how much you've enjoyed working with him over the years. And,
He's the best.
you know, I feel like that even if he never makes it anywhere, you know, and he just gets his tour card, I think he's going to go places on the tour. I really do. But I do think like that as a coach, and we've had this conversation, man, for years, you and I, years. And that is, you better go to somebody who at some point helps somebody else play worth a shit, right? And that's what you've done with him. You know, he was a good player when he got to you. I'm not denying that. But look at the journey, man. You know, and I know, and what I have so much respect for you and for Wayne Flint and for all the guys that do this development work with players and help them get to that level, you know, is it does take a plan and it takes patience and it's an
And it takes
all-encompassing
time.
approach. It is hard work to get guys there, you know, and it's really, for me, it's like, as a coach, it's very, very rewarding to get a guy there, you know, to get a player to college golf's a big deal. If you started with them when they're 12 or 13 or 14 years old, it's tough getting somebody to there and they get to that spot. And now you've taken him to the tour. It's just really, you know,
It's
hats
fun.
off to him as
Well,
all.
you've done it a gazillion times as well, and you're doing so much good stuff, especially with a few of the ladies. And but yeah, I mean, that's what I enjoy doing. But I think that the model of what he's done works for the guy at home or the lady at home that wants to cut their handicap in half, right? Like
I
the
think you're
journey's the
spot
same.
on. It's so true. I've got a funny story. So I got a girl who I'm teaching. She's at Sewanee, which is down in
Oh
Tennessee,
yeah, I know, yeah, it's
College of the South, right? And I never knew where I never heard of the school before. But this girl came to me as a sophomore in high school, and she was a volleyball player. And she's not a big girl; she was a setter. Anyway, she wanted to play golf, and I taught her dad and her grandfather. This is how long I've known this family.
Oh my
Makes me
God.
feel quite old, Tony.
You are old.
I
Now you're
appreciate that. It's scary. It's scary when you've taught three generations, right? So anyway, they come and they say, hey, she really wants to play. You know, she wants to see if she can, you know, enjoy this sport like she did volleyball. She's kind of burned out in volleyball, whatever. So she starts out her first tournament she played. I think she shot 113. That was her first event. Okay. So this girl is, and Maddie's been doing her short game. You know, I've helped her with a short game. Maddie helped her with a short game and her putting, and I did the full swing. And she's got a fun, very unique swing. Like her head turns on the backswing, It's kind of loose and big. But what you said about Milan, which is I think so important, is that he owns his swing. That's his swing. You never got in there and tweaked it and made it something that you wanted it to be. You just rode with what he was doing. And with her, I was like, man, she's a pretty good ball striker. Like I'm leaving a lot of that alone because I'm not going to mess that up. If she's got a swing that she doesn't know another swing, the chances are that's going to last because that's the only swing she knows. Right. And so this girl went from shooting that scores as she started, played through high school, started playing tournaments. All of a sudden, she's, okay, she's played, shot 80, shot 78, shot 75. I played with her in the desert 2 years ago. She hit 17 greens. It was unbelievable and beat me. I was not very happy about that. But what was cool about it is just watching her development. So now she goes to Tennessee to play at Suwannee. Her first tournament, not bad. She does okay. Wins her second tournament. Are you kidding me? The next tournament, she's got the lead with 5 holes to go. Can't finish it off. Finishes fifth or something. The next tournament finishes fifth again. And what it shows, and I'm not in any way saying it was me. I'm just saying that I was smart enough because I've screwed up enough to know that if it's working and she's improving, leave it alone. Just continue to have her work on those things that she's doing that's helping her get better.
That's great.
And that's the difference between an old Brady and a young Brady who would have thought, oh, I got to change this. It's got to look like that. You don't have to do those things, man. You just got to
No.
work with what they got. If they're getting better, leave it alone and just help them along the way.
Same here. Like I kind of wrapping it up. I teach a young girl plays Mississippi State. You've seen the videos of her. It gets in.
Yes.
She's the number one ranked college player or female player now. And like I remember when her dad brought her to me like 4 or 5 years ago, they were worried somebody was going to just jump in and change it. And like what you were just saying, the old Tony, maybe 10 years ago, might have done more. But I was like, I mean, this girl smashes. Like she hits shit. She hits it better than anybody else I'm teaching right now. Like I mean, and so we've softened things. But like my job's to just give her all the pieces she needs to run with how good she is and to play. And I kept saying, oh, same deal as Amelia. I pulled up an old video the other day on my swing cap thinking, I bet it's going to be a bunch different. Shit, it wasn't that different. Hell,
Crazy, right?
her
Crazy.
setup better. I'll say that. I fixed her setup. Face is a little bit more neutral. It's a little bit less in, still smashes it, but it's fun.
Hey, sometimes less is the answer, right? Just do a little bit. Just help them a little bit. You don't need to change a lot of stuff if it's working. That's the kiss of death.
You're the best. We got to do this more. I'll look forward to seeing you
Course.
do some stuff in January, February together in Florida. Appreciate you always and keep up all the good stuff. We'll talk soon, brother.
You too, man. Really appreciate you having me.